Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity, and we ask that you anoint us real good, and eyes and ears to discern this worldly Christianity that we're going to talk about. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to call it a fake Christianity. And it's probably going to be about false signs and wonders, miracles and Christians, a vision of enemy's battle plan. Amen. So we'll start with that. Vision of the Enemy's Battle Plan by Holly Moody. It's very good. As I was praying on April the 25th, 2000, I began to see in my mind a picture of the Lord. He was sitting on a rock, and groups of people of all ages were gathered around him. They all seemed to be laughing and talking together. I felt joy and peace and happiness as I viewed this scene. At times, the Lord would reach down and bring a child onto his lap, or he would reach out and a baby would be placed into his arms, and he would then gaze down into the face of the baby and speak softly and tenderly to the baby. At other times, someone would draw close to his side and he would place his arms around them and draw them closer to him. An angel approached the Lord. The crowd before the Lord parted to allow the angel to draw near to the Lord. A silence fell over the laughing, joyous crowd as the angel stopped before the Lord and began to speak. From the way this angel was dressed, I sensed immediately that this was a warring angel. Being a warring angel, and well aware of the coming battle plan of the enemy, he spoke with a strong sense of urgency and even perplexity in his voice. He was very concerned. "There is work to be done," the angel said to the Lord. "Why do the people only sit here idly? These are dangerous times. The people should be doing battle in prayer and in the Spirit. Instead, they sit here at your feet, laughing. They are completely unawares of what is even now transpiring in the courts of hell." With great concern in his voice, the angel asked, "Why are you allowing this?" Before continuing the vision, as a sidebar to that conversation, I had the impression the angel and the Lord had been in each other's presence numerous times and had many conversations with one another. What the angel said did not sound disrespectful or challenging at all. I could feel how he was feeling, and it was a genuine question in the midst of such perplexing opposition to come. The Lord gazed with love at the angel before him. He said, "Before I answer your question, take this child of mine and show them what is being planned by the enemy." Both the angel and the Lord then turned their heads and stared at me. "This will be too much for her," the angel protested. "Take her and show her," the Lord repeated. The angel bowed his head to the Lord and then turned towards me. I began to back nervously away as the angel approached me. "Where are you taking me?" I asked the angel. "To the enemy's camp," the angel replied. "Go with him," the Lord instructed me. I felt very nervous and afraid. but allowed the angel to touch me. And as soon as the angel touched me, we were in darkness. I felt fear engulf me. "Fear not," the angel said to me, and instantly the fear vanished. The darkness seemed to dissipate, and I discovered that the angel and I were in what appeared to be a great court. A man was sitting on a large throne, and before him were gathered all types of creatures and men. This court had the appearance of a cave, and when I first viewed this scene, I felt stunned. I'm not sure why. I was like something rebelled in me at what I was seeing. "Who is that man on the throne?" I asked the angel. "And who are these creatures and men gathered before him?" "That is the accuser of the brethren and his armies," the angel replied. I then realized that I was in the presence of Satan. And when the angel informed me that this man was Satan, the fact that he was sitting on a throne amazed me. Later, when I prayed about this aspect of the vision, I felt that the Lord said that Satan was trying to copy everything that was God's in heaven for himself. Satan was speaking, and I heard him say, "This will be our strategy." He then got up from his throne and went to stand in front of a large map on the wall behind him. As I stared at the map, I became aware that it was a map of the entire world. It's very hard to describe this map. The map wasn't actually pinned or hanging on the wall, but it was in front of the wall. But it was like I could see it from all angles. And also I could see like air waves or wind currents, the tides of the seas, etc. I could also see the hemisphere around the world, moons, stars, planets, etc. I really have no words or way to correctly put down the appearance of this map. Satan began to divide the world into sections. Then he called out some names, and I saw the creatures and the men gathered before Satan, and very large and strong-looking angelic beings approached Satan. I saw four of these mighty-looking angelic beings. I could sense the power of these beings and sense the evil and the wickedness of that power. A hush had fallen over the crowd. "Who are these beings?" I whispered to the angel whom I was with. The angel and I was seemed concerned. "They are Satan's princes." Satan began speaking again, and he was assigning sections of the world to each of these princes. "You will need your armies," Satan said to them. "Choose whomever you will. All is at your disposal." The large beings then began to pick and choose who would be in their particular army. This was by no means orderly. There was a great deal of arguing, bickering, etc. And when they were finished, they all turned back to Satan and stared at him. "Each prince will teach you our strategy to deceive and to destroy and to slay mankind," Satan said. "Go with them." The princes and their armies began to exit from the presence of Satan. The angel and I began to follow one of the groups. They went into what appeared to be a schoolroom. The prince went to the front of the room and began to instruct his army on how to deceive, destroy, and slay the people in their particular section of the world who had been allocated to them. The angel and I then went to each classroom. The same plans and strategies were being taught in each classroom. And by the same plans, I don't mean each class was teaching the exact same thing. What I mean is that each class was very thorough in what it was teaching and on how to apply what was being taught. In some of the classrooms, they were studying political leaders, their families, homes, lifestyles, etc. were being closely scrutinized. I felt very frightened and helpless, very overwhelmed as I saw and heard how very thorough these lessons, for lack of a better word, were. Nothing was left to chance. Every area of these political leaders' lives was being dissected and investigated and studied. Demons were being assigned on how to attack and influence and control each of these political leaders, their families, and even their friends and co-workers. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing was overlooked. The books they read, the radio stations they listened to, etc., everything was being discussed. The enormity of all of this was absolutely mind-boggling to me. And this also occurred with the religious leaders. It was the religion classes that frightened and shocked me the most. In these classes, religions of the nations were being studied and discussed. Even New Age and occult, Wicca, Tarot, etc. were being discussed. Buddhism, Hinduism, etc. were being discussed. The Bibles and books and other writings for all of these religions were being read and studied. Each denomination of Christianity was being studied. The Bible being studied was the major source of information for these lessons. This was truly horrifying and shocking to me that demons were reading and studying the Bible, and it was all for the intent to twist what was written and to seek ways to misinterpret or misrepresent, etc., it to Christians. The demons were discussing ways to dilute the gospel. They were discussing ways to incorporate major beliefs from all of the religions into one big acceptable gospel for humankind. Some of the demons in these religion classes were ordered to infiltrate churches and were being taken into actual churches and were watching how the people prayed, worshiped, sang, etc. They were studying how messages were being delivered to the congregations in numerous churches. They were studying the individuals who were used in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. These individuals were followed around constantly by assigned demons who watched and listened to everything these people said and did. The friends and family members of these individuals were also studied. The demons discussed ways to drive wedges, etc., between those people who were truly being used of God and the people they went to church with, and even how to cause these people's own pastors and spiritual leaders to lose faith and confidence in these people who were used in the gifts of the Spirit. I felt so angry and frustrated and helpless as I saw and heard how this was to be accomplished, and how it had already been initiated in many, many congregations, and how it was largely succeeding. Many of these religious demons, for lack of a better word, were being taught how to sing in churches, and how to dance in the Spirit, and how to pray and teach. I felt at times as if I were going to vomit as I witnessed many demons in these classrooms practicing how to worship the Lord and how to be a Christian. Seeing a demon dancing before the Lord is so awful and so sickening that there are just no words to describe it adequately. Some of these more major demons could also work signs and wonders, and even miracles. Some of these demons were also being taught how to be Christ. This was being done by actually studying the Scriptures, seeing some of these demons acting and speaking like Christ. This shocked me speechless. Seeing them reading the Bible was like an abomination to me. In some of these classes, even UFOs and aliens were being discussed, and how to deceive people through these phenomena. There were classrooms where food and dress and slang words, yes, slang words, were being studied. Crops were being studied and discussed. All of this was just so vast, it overwhelmed me. Suddenly, the classes began to leave the rooms. The angel and I followed them. They congregated back in front of Satan. "Report," Satan said. "How will we deceive, destroy, and slay mankind?" One of the princes came forward and began to outline their plans and strategies to Satan. "The people want signs and wonders and miracles from their religious leaders," the prince said. "We know that our enemy will be and has begun already to grant this unto his children. We will slip in with a counterfeit move and deceive many. We have taught our armies how to mimic worship, praise, and looking and acting like a true believer. We will give unto our armies the ability to work signs, wonders, and even miracles. But while all become focused upon these outward manifestations, others of us will begin behind the scenes to dilute the message of the gospel. We will accomplish this partly through speaking to the people about God's true nature. We will allow the people to create God into what and whom they want him to be." "Good," Satan said, "very good." The prince began to speak once again. "When the people have created their own version of God, then we will give them our God." The crowd before Satan began to cheer wildly. "We must depart," the angel urged me. Suddenly we were back before the Lord. He was still in the midst of his children, laughing with them, talking to them, and touching them. A silence fell over the group once again as the angel and I was with once more approached the Lord. The angel reported to the Lord all we had heard and seen in hell. The angel was very concerned and distressed, asking, "Why are you just sitting here with the people? Why haven't they been sent to begin battle? How will they be able to discern this coming great deception if they aren't even aware that one is coming?" The Lord became grave. His face, as he looked at his children, was alight with his great love for them. And I noticed tears in his eyes. And then he turned his head and looked at the angel speaking with him. "My children will know the false by knowing the true," the Lord said. "The longer they spend in my presence, the more they will know my voice when they hear it. A voice of a stranger they will not follow. But the enemy has those who have been taught to speak just as you do," the angel protested. "They sound almost just like you." "Almost," the Lord replied gently. "Almost they sound like me. Only my sheep who have lingered long in my presence will know the voice of their true shepherd. And this is why I spend so much time with my children. I spend as much time with them as they allow me to. And I know very well what the enemy is planning. My plans are plans of love and fellowship." The angel and the Lord both fell silent as they gazed at the crowd before the Lord. "Love them well," the angel replied. "Yes, a battle is coming," the Lord sighed, and I saw tears in his eyes. "Great wickedness and persecution upon my children, my true children, who know my voice, a time of wickedness and persecution such has never been seen or experienced. Yet in the midst of it all, I will move, I will bless, I will speak, and I will love, and I will win. There are those of my children who sense much of this. They are the ones who will never stop praying and interceding, not even in times of seeming peace. What about me, Lord?" I asked. The angel and the Lord looked at me. "Pray," the Lord replied. "Tell the prayer warriors to strengthen themselves and their brothers and sisters in the times of peace. I will be pouring out my spirit upon all nations and peoples. It will spread to even the most unlikely of places. Television, magazines, newspapers, radios, and even the internet. And I will be here that the battle will truly begin and the deception begin." The Lord stood up. "It is time," the angel asked him. "It is time," the Lord replied. And then I was no longer with the Lord or the angel, but praying once again. John 10 is in my mind, especially verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Well, amen. We know the plots and the schemes of Satan, as they have studied them, and we will have to hear from our Lord and be associated so much with him that we recognize them, right? Okay, this one we're going to call "Discernment Delivers from False Prophets." This was given to J. Naura from Romania, 6/9/2008. I dreamed I was in a class with several other pupils we were in this big room, which looked rather like a gymnasium, and I remember thinking and missing my friends from other classes whom I remembered were long gone away. David Eales was our teacher, and I was standing next to him. And I believe he's a type of the David Man-Child Ministry. David was telling me that the previous night there was a party at his next-door neighbor's house, and he didn't get much sleep. Well, God's people giving in to lasciviousness have truly caused me some loss of sleep. He was casually dressed like a sports teacher or a trainer. Well, we have to train the people of God to get in shape for the contest to come, don't we? Since I was seeing his profile, I noticed he was wearing a patch or a piece of wool over his nose, like he had a nose job, or even more, it looked to me like something he was wearing to filter the air that he was breathing. Well, this nose filter represents the ability to discern good from evil. The nose gives discernment to the mind that is neither seen nor heard. Wool over the nose represents having the true clothing or actions of sheep, which filter out the false spirits, which is the meaning of breath in the Hebrew. The next thing I remember, was a tall man entering the room, accompanied with a woman. The tall man is seen in many dreams as the corporate false prophet and his companion, the harlot church. They were dressed in suits and looked to me like teachers. The man came and was standing next to me, and I knew they were there to acquire some pupils for themselves. Well, they will seek through lasciviousness, meaning a license to excess, to draw aside disciples of Christ. They will make the gospel easy, take away the cross, and deceive people. I tried to ignore him since I could tell what his intentions were, and then he pointed his finger at me. I looked around for David but couldn't see him. Well, we're going to face temptation alone. It's what's going to weed out the tares from the wheat, right? I turned to the man and looked at his face for the first time. He was so tall, almost all the way up to the ceiling. I remember feeling the pain in my neck as I was struggling to look at his face. I think his great size probably represents a corporate body of people. He was nicely groomed, curly-haired, and had bright gray, watery eyes. Well, I believe they tend to see things in gray, not black or white, as in wrong or right, right? So, being determined, I told him that I was not going with him because David was my teacher. As I was saying these words, I was getting weak. I remember being hardly able to say that last word, teacher, but I succeeded. He looked shocked and very offended because obviously he had the authority to choose from the class as he liked, and he looked at the woman, or the harlot, with disbelief. He looked back to me, trying to put some smile on his angry face, and then I woke up. Well, the Sanskrit meaning for Jay is victory. Although tempted, Jay in this dream obviously represents those who gain the victory over the false prophet and harlot, at least initially, because of their training in discernment. And we're told that the word exercises our senses to discern good from evil. Hebrews 5:12 on down says, "For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." All right, that's pretty to the point. This is a persecution from the false prophet. It was given to Kaylee, 1/19/2011. She said, "This is one of the most powerful and vivid dreams that I've had to date. At the beginning of it, I realized that I was a spectator to what was happening in it. I saw a man who was dressed very nicely. He was wearing a gray silk suit and a red silk tie with his hair slicked back and carried himself with self-confidence, almost to the point of being narcissistic. This man was walking around a mall and talking to people of all ages. As he talked to some people, he invited them to a meeting at his house. I noticed as he spoke to the various people that he was very charming and was able to persuade about 20 people to follow him to his home." Well, the slick man represents the false prophets who, with feigned words, make merchandise of the word and the people. His red tie makes him appear to be wrapped in the blood of Jesus. The mall probably represents the buying and selling of Babylonish religion. He is narcissistic because he is an egotistical and selfish of gain and of reputation and material things. I followed them out to the parking lot where they carpooled behind this man in his luxury car. I saw them drive over many hills and valleys to a bridge that went out to an island to a huge mansion where this man lived. And as they passed over the bridge, I realized that the mansion and the rest of the island were one of the most beautiful places I had ever seen. Well, he makes merchandise of the people, plundering them for his own selfish gain. His doctrine is conveniently prosperity-oriented, obviously. Right? So Jay said, after the group went into the mansion, he motioned them into a large dining area where the table was filled with different kinds of hors d'oeuvres. The man told them to make themselves at home and then left the room. The people in the room were carrying on conversations and eating when all of a sudden they heard screaming and very strange sounds coming from outside the dining room. And as the screaming started, I became aware of a particular woman in the room. Well, the false prophets have been known throughout history to take advantage of the ladies because their flesh rules them. But also in a spiritual way, this could represent the woman church horrified at the true nature of this wolf in sheep's clothing. Then the doors to the dining room swung open, and there we saw the well-to-do man standing in the doorway with an AK-47 in his hand. The man did not have his hair slicked back anymore. It was messed up, and he had a very demonic look on his face. After observing the obvious change in his demeanor, I saw the door on the other side of the dining room open, and the man told the group, "Start running." Well, these egomaniacs have a hidden purpose, and sometimes they don't even realize it. They just have lusts that they have to feed. So, and that is to kill the saints of God, as the false prophet Sanhedrin did with Jesus. The saints will be running from them spiritually and literally very soon. They have the backing of the beast government to deceive and to persecute the saints, as it was in Jesus' day. I then realized that for a brief amount of time, I had the point of view of the woman as she ran through the hallway. There were people getting shot behind where the woman and a man were running. There was a room that the two found, and they ran into it. The man saw that there was an exit sign and a door that went outside. I noticed that the exit sign looked strange, and I didn't have a good feeling about it. The man told the woman that they needed to go through the door, but she told him that they shouldn't go out there. Instead, there was a little bit of a bench behind a dark gray curtain, and they sat on the bench. So, we can see that every avenue of escape is not a true escape from the false prophet and the beast. Some are a trap designed by them, like the mark of the beast. Resting and being hidden in Christ, seated with him in heavenly places, behind the veil, is the true escape. So, a few minutes after the man and woman sat behind the curtain, there was a group of three boys who ran through, representing the immature church. They first slammed their backs up against the man and woman, but somehow didn't realize that there were people behind the curtain. I was reminded of this verse, Psalm 91 and 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Once they all took a deep breath, they ran through the exit straight outside. The boys ran over to the edge of the courtyard to find that there was nowhere to go because the bridge that they had traveled on had disappeared. As soon as they got to the edge of the courtyard, the ground started shifting, and it revealed a muddy, dark brown or black, quicksand-like layer underneath where there were some decomposing bodies. So obviously he had the habit of doing this, destroying people. And, you know, a spiritual destruction and death is not like a physical destruction and death, but that's what these people are out to do. They just are fulfilling their lusts, but they are working for the devil in order to destroy people spiritually. There was one boy who was closer to the edge than the others, and he fell straight down to his death as the ground shifted. Well, there are many ways that seem right to men, but in the end, it is the way of death. Proverbs 14 and 12 and 16 and 25. One-third of the immature church at this time falls away because of walking and shifting sands of false doctrines instead of the Word. This does not include the tares that were really never in the church of the so-called, of the called out ones. Yeah, they never are. So when the sandy ground began to shift, the Lord reminded me of the house built on the rock versus the sand. Matthew 7 and 24. Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. The two other boys knew that they needed to find a way out, so they started running back towards the mansion to go a different direction. Well, two-thirds repent. In other words, change their direction. As they started running towards the house, I saw that the look and feel to this island had changed. It was no longer lush and vibrant with color, but it had become very dark, and the mansion looked old and run down. Well, once God's people passed through this Babylonish house and changed direction, they see it as it really is, a corrupt and dying tomb full of dead men's bones. When the boys had almost made it to where the house was, the door that the boys came out of swung open and the crazed man came outside. I noticed that he seemed to change even more since the last time I saw him in the dining room. His silk suit was no longer silk. It looked like it was made of wool, and it was a lot larger than him, especially in his shoulders. As soon as I saw him, I thought of a wolf with a thick overcoat. The tie was also a different shade of red, a dark maroon, I thought. Well, once God's people pass through this Babylonish house, they perceive the wolf in sheep's clothing as really very small in comparison to the image that he at first portrayed to the public. His maroon tie seems like it represents blood that has lost its oxygen or breath of the spirit. The blood that is spent and returning to the heart rather than the red blood that comes from the heart. At that point, I saw the point of view of one of the boys. I saw the boy in front get shot down immediately after the crazed man came outside. And the other boy then tripped And the man quickly came and put the barrel of the gun against the base of his skull. It was kind of strange because I could almost feel the metal on the back of his skull like it was mine. And then I heard a gunshot, and then everything went black. The factious people have demonstrated this well to us. They are very slick when trying to impart to people their slander and witchcraft. They are full of fleshly lusts that drive them. Initially, some escape them, but their suspicious thoughts remain to tempt and to tempt and to tempt them. When they give in, they return to the one who infected them. They spiritually die and never return to God. And I just use this as an example, but the devil has many traps of different kinds. He knows what kind of allure will work with what kind of a person, right? So then I saw the man start going around the outside of his mansion and throughout the hallways, cleaning up the blood and disposing of the dead bodies. And after he got done tidying up, he slicked his hair back and changed his clothes back into the silk suit to get ready to bring another group of people to his house. And as I watched him present himself as the charming, well-to-do man again, I was reminded of the wolves in sheep's clothing that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. I also began to think about the adjective that first came to mind when I saw him, charming, which automatically makes me think about witchcraft and manipulation, things that are not of God. I then went back to the man and woman who were still quietly hiding behind the curtain. In other words, they were resting in the secret place of the Most High, right? They heard the bridge coming back up, and at that point, they made a run for it. The crazed man realized that there were still two people on the property and ran outside to try and kill them, but it was too late. The man and woman had already made it across the bridge and were out of sight. So they who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, of course, will escape all these testings and trials. He said, as I began to type this dream out, I thought that it was significant that only one man and one woman survived this attack, and I thought about the woman and the man-child. I was reminded of the passage in Revelation where the dragon wanted to devour the man-child once he was delivered by the woman. But, as in the time to come, in the dream, the evil one did not prevail. Well, of course, the dragon was also chasing the woman, right? So, the man-child and those of the woman, church, who abide in the rest by faith, will escape. Just after we received the above dream, we received this next dream. This was from Jen Reams, 129-2011. And she said, I was with a group of about 100 people. We had been gathered by the government into a public building. We were there under the pretense of being helped. But I knew it was a trap, and they were planning to kill us. Sounds familiar with the FEMA thing, right? But I knew no one would believe me, and as I prayed for the boldness to warn them Anyway, I began to warn them individually, starting with my husband and daughter. For some reason, I can't remember their response, but I know it ended with me telling everyone at once that it was a trap and they were planning to kill us. We were on the red list. I know this is possibly because of the warnings and Bible studies that I've been listening to, and not necessarily a prophetic dream. However, it was a warning. And one question that came to my mind is, people know about the red list in reality, so why would I need to tell them? Well, maybe because individuals don't know if they are on the red list. Just a thought. So, let's talk about mega churches and strong delusion. Churches deceived into program. Deborah Horton got this on 7/9/2005. In a dream, I saw mega church after mega church flashing by. The congregation were well dressed and complacent. Then I saw not quite as many smaller churches flashing by. They had all been tricked into joining a program that was supposed to help them grow. In the dream, I knew it was every single megachurch, but not as many of the smaller ones that were involved. None of the home groups would participate. And, of course, I'll put a link here to Baiting the False Prophet in War. Somebody can go to that and study it a little deeper. This program progressively looked greater and greater control, took greater and greater control of each church. At first, the people were very happy with their decision. However, when there was no longer any way for them to escape, they began to see the program for what it really was. And by the time each group had been reduced to a handful of people, the controlling force stopped pretending to be helping them and revealed itself as an ugly, bloodthirsty monster. Amazing to me was that as the people were being systematically taken over, they looked more and more like the monster themselves. It was awful, and I was horrified by how easily the people were tricked and how quickly they were degraded and killed. It's because this is not a natural phenomenon. It's a spiritual phenomenon, and demons enter into people because of their lack of love for the truth when they listen to a bunch of hogwash. So, in Ezekiel 17:21, the Lord said he would scatter towards every wind those who rebelled against Babylon. Rebelling here means to physically fight with them, to not accept their cross. Ezekiel 17:21, and all his fugitives in all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered towards every wind. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, we've all taken our little trips, some smaller and some bigger, through Babylon to learn to discern the difference between it and the truth. That is, if we love the truth, right? So those who don't take the mark of the beast will flee it, but many of these will make war on the beast and lose. And others will have their eyes opened and will join to the man-child and the two witness ministries. As I woke up, I realized that program was a play on the word pogrom, which is defined as an organized and often officially encouraged massacre or attack on a national, religious, or ethnic minority. Well, not necessarily a physical attack. Sometimes it is a spiritual attack that brings spiritual death. An organized massacre of the Jews in Tsarist Russia, the Russian word for devastation. Okay, here's a revelation we call deception coming to the One World Order Church. Marion Carney, 2-29-08. I dreamt I was at my grandmother's old apartment complex with a few others. I came up the elevator and walked down the hallway to her apartment door. I could see that the door was already slightly open, so I opened and I walked in. There wasn't anyone inside at first, and I walked over to the patio window. Well, the apartment complex represents joining house to house, the great unified corporate house of the Harlot Church in the U.S. Isaiah 5 and 8 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, until there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." Well, that no one was home without inhabitant speaks to the coming desolation of this corporate house. I noticed it was getting very windy outside. It was gray. Seems like a common color, and it seems to represent death, right? And raining just a bit. There was an old woman in the parking lot below me, and she was caught in the wind. The wind was so strong that it pushed her over. As I watched the wind become stronger and stronger, she was really struggling to walk. The wind became so strong that it cracked the glass that I was looking out of. Just as it cracked, the woman was picked up in the air by the wind and was being swept away. An old man then appeared and was trying to help the old woman, but the wind was too strong for them, and both of them were lifted up in the air several feet off the ground. And when they were lifted up, the wind blew them around the side of the building, out of my view. I then backed away from the window because the other side of the glass was cracking. Well, the old woman represents the same thing as the apartment complex, the old apostate church, which is being blown by ever-increasing winds of false doctrines by their deceiving leaders, represented by the old man. In Ephesians 4 and 14 on, it says, "That we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error." This house will be destroyed, I believe, by the winds of the beast and the false prophet doctrines. Matthew 7 and 26 goes on to say, "And every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Because we're talking about eternal life or death, right? I turned around with the intent to go help the other people And when I did, there were two men at a small table that resembled a small fold-out card table. It was placed directly in the middle of the room. On the table was a porcelain teapot and a teacup. The inside of this cup had writing inscribed all around it, kind of like a measuring cup would be. The man who had the teapot in his hand poured some tea for the man who was sitting down. He filled the small cup up to one of the inscriptions and nodded for the man to drink it. The man drinking the tea didn't know that he was actually being deceived, as the words that were inscribed in the cup were actually words of a ritual. And every time the man filled the cup up to a different level, the man was partaking in a ritual. And that's how false prophets and false teachers do. They give you a little bit, little bit, little bit. It's we know that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, like the frog in the teapot. The heat was raised so gradually, there's a graduation right there, so gradually that the frog didn't notice he was being cooked. And that's what happens. They don't come out with it all up front. They, little by little, they deceive you. The demons have taught them this. I tried telling the man sitting down to not drink the tea, that he was being deceived. However, they could not hear me. The man served him two more times, and the last cup was measured one line from being completely filled to the top. And as the man drank from the cup, the other man who was serving him smiled. And then I awoke. Well, Marion's intent to go and help the older people was interpreted by a revelation that deception is sent to them instead. Those leaders who do not listen to God's warnings will have even greater deception measured back to them from the beast than what they meted out to the apostate church. Because what you sow, you reap, right? Well, Mark 4 and 23 says, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And more shall be given unto you. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. So those who walk in the steps of the Sanhedrin to crucify the body of Christ will have the beast to measure it back to them. Matthew 23 and 30 says, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you witness to yourselves that you are sons of them that slew the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall ye kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth. So, obviously, we need to pray for the Pauls and the Nicodemuses and the Joseph of Arimathea's to come forth out of them, right? To recognize and come forth out of them. These false prophets and those who follow them are being bribed by their lust into strong delusion that will cost many their eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8 says, "And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Well, the moral of this story, of course, is to love the truth and you will not be deceived. Many people go to men to find out what is right and what is wrong, and men have their own lusts and their own reasons for believing a lot of the things that they believe. So you don't want to buy that. Everybody needs to stay in the Scriptures and pore over the Scriptures. The sum of thy words is truth. Find truth from God. And then here's another dream. 3-2-2008. "I dreamt a very short dream where I was with a handful of others who were preparing for two major earthquakes. I knew that we would survive the first earthquake. However, I knew that the second earthquake was going to be more destructive." Well, we know two earthquakes just like that mentioned in the Bible, right? "I was looking down at the ground trying to determine where the earthquake would take place, and I was really calculating where it was to take place. And I showed the others and told them to prepare for the second earthquake, and that it was going to be a bad one." Well, we are expecting earthquakes when the man-child reformers are spiritually resurrected and anointed, and Jesus died with an earthquake, and 3 days later was resurrected at a great earthquake, quote-unquote. An earthquake is a rending or separating of the earth, representing division between peoples of the earth. Such a division is happening between the alliance and the deep state. Because of this, the second, more destructive division will be a civil war in the nation of America. And I'll share some clues with you. But before I do, I want to say that I do believe there are physical earthquakes coming at these timings. We'll see. But we can see right now the spiritual earthquake happening. So here's some clues. The Department of Health and Human Services has spent $290 million on radiation sickness drugs, hinting at fears of a nuclear conflict. There's nothing that they would want more than this. They want to stop people looking into their sins, and they want to distract them, and they would love a war between the U.S. and Russia, for instance, who are their two biggest enemies. They are fighting them the most and have the capability of destroying them. So anyway, going on, the World Health Organization is updating lists for nuclear emergencies. signaling that something catastrophic may be on the horizon. Remember Operation Gotham Shield? The 2017 simulation of a nuclear attack on New York. Well, it's no longer a simulation. Real-world events are aligning. That's true. The deep state, CIA, and FBI are allegedly plotting the cyber attack of the century. Their goal? To erase investigations into Epstein, Hunter, and the 2020 election and vaccine cover-ups. Their scapegoat is the Patriots. And here's another one. October 17th. Breaking, the U.S. military authorized to kill Americans. Directive 5240.01. Suppressed by Google. AMG News. So they're going to, as FEMA is doing, try to legally kill people. Sounds like a preparation for another Hitler, right? October 17th, breaking, the U.S. military authorized to kill Americans. Ron Paul warns of looming civil war under new DOD directive. And then there's a video there. Well, there was a pretty big house over to the left of me that was on little poles. It looked like one of those homes that are on a lake or a beach. However, under this home, there was a lot of dirt. It will be known that this deep state house is founded on a lot of dirt, and they don't want the public to know it. And dirt obviously represents corruption. All of their corruption, they don't want them to know it. They're willing to kill the world to stop you from finding this out. I was standing outside the house, determining where a safe area would be for us. And the others were preparing for the earthquake inside the house. A separation in the house, right? I explained to them for an earthquake, you come out of the house, and explained how the house could fall on them. Yeah, the best way to not be a part of the destruction of the house, their deep state house, is to come out from among them, as it commands us to come out of Babylon, right? However, they were looking for items to take cover in, like a tub or a basement, as if they were preparing for a tornado rather than an earthquake. I was desperately trying to get them out of the house, but they would not listen. The dream ended with me speaking with a man who was sitting on some bricks in the area where I was pinpointing the first earthquake would be. Well, this pretty big house on poles that is not founded on the rock of the word and could fall on the people in this division is the corruption in the church and the government. Both places are dangerous, you know, if you're not founded on the rock. Matthew 7 and 26 says, "And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." So, how do you know when you're founded on the rock? Well, the Bible says the sum of thy words is truth. You search the Bible, and you put the pieces together, the pieces of the puzzle together, and you never give up doing that. You're always ready to receive other pieces that other people have, humbly, you know. And You put those all, if they're all of the same subject, for instance, you put them all together before you make up your mind what that doctrine is supposed to be. So the way to escape this house falling on you is to get out of the house. The man sitting on the pile of bricks represents the total fall of this house. Revelation 18 and 2. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and has become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird." And verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice coming, a voice from heaven, saying, 'Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.'" So, anyway, we also have some other dreams of Marians which point out the reasons for this destruction. Here's one in February of 08. "There was a singular corporate apartment complex," there it is again, "standing alone. It was a very expensive, very large building, like one you would see in Las Vegas. It was glistening as if it were made of a shiny tin material." Well, again, we see the apostate church are in agreement, house to house, in a great gamble, Las Vegas, right, which will not pay off for them. The deep state has unified against the right wing, wishing to wipe them out. Just remember that. You have to have the protection of being in the secret place of the Most High, which we've already covered. The building was within a few feet of a lake, like one of the great lakes, such as Lake Erie. Well, Abraham's seed in America is as the sands on the seashore for multitude, the Lord said. And Genesis 22 and 17 says, "I will multiply thy seed, and as the sand which is upon the seashore." The apartment building is the harlot of Babylon's church and government. Remember, Babylon in the scripture is both a government and a apostate church in many cases. In Revelation 17 and 1, "I will show thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters." And the many waters represent the peoples of the world. Verse 15 says, "The waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, all of them deceived." How could so many people be deceived? Well, we saw and sat in on the plans of the demons to deceive. And if a person does not love the truth, they will be deceived. That's how God cleanses the church. Okay, my eldest son, Scott, was standing outside of the building, telling me how it was a great location by the water with a great view of the lake. I took notice of this, but I was more concerned with wanting to go in and look around. Let's find out what this thing is made of, right? Scott was needing to make a decision about the building, and I kept telling him to look around, that there were other homes with a view of a lake. Yeah. So, many will have to decide whether to be a part of this harlot church and government. Many will have to look things over and discern, is this scriptural or is it not? It's sad that so many people get saved and they get stuck in a dead church and they stay there all their life. And they miss out on the greatness of what God has for them. I don't know how I got inside the building because it was quite a ways away from us at first. However, there I was standing in the hallway. I then began walking through the hallway, looking for people. And I was opening and closing doors because I was looking for someone. At one point, I was looking for a young girl, but I don't know who she was. Well, I believe Marion failed to find her fruit, her spiritual man, the child born to her in the harlot church, and the government, as so many will. Somehow, the dream switched from me being on the inside to being on the outside of the building. At this point, I could see the waves of the lake were getting more and more intense. A judgment coming against the Babylonian system. I don't remember going to any high ground, but was now viewing the apartment complex as if I were standing on a hill a ways from it. The water was rougher than when I first saw it and was now really scary looking. Well, when we dealt with the factious slander and witchcraft spirits in the church, we then began to see the same spirits in the leftist government. The factious government. The factious church and the factious government go together. The judgment of God will continue to rise against these factions. The waves started to form faster and faster as I looked on. One of the waves started to form so high in the sky that I had a sick feeling come over me. I watched in fear as the wave grew and went kind of in slow motion and slammed into the building with great fury. The impact was so scary to me that I actually awoke at that point, shaken by the power of that wave. Well, as in all past history, the judgment of God will destroy the beast and harlot. They belong together. Okay, another dream, 313 of 08. I was walking with a small group of people on the street I grew up on, but the street was much wider in some areas than it actually is. Across the street from me were some people leaving my old church. They crossed the street and began walking with me and some others. In this small group, there was a man who was very tall and blondish, with blondish brown hair. He kept trying to speak with me and give me compliments despite his wife walking with us. I wouldn't acknowledge him because I knew he was married, but that didn't deter him as he kept trying to flirt with me. I purposely kept a good distance from him as we all walked across an open area in the street. Well, the apostate Saul leaders from the old church and government are living after their lusts. 1 Samuel 9 and 2 says, Saul, a young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. You remember the tall man? So the worldly look on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Yes, he was big in the flesh, but not in the spirit. 2 Peter 2 and 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unsteadfast souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness, children of cursing. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness, those who are just escaping from them that live in error. And as we continued to walk around, we again passed by my church, and some of the others wanted to go inside to see what they were teaching. I stayed outside on the sidewalk with another when they came back out. One woman said to us, "They aren't teaching what they should be in there." Obviously, she knew that because she didn't go back in there. So the apostates will not be able to preach Christ and the Word or risk offending each other, obviously. And as she shook her head, she seemed really annoyed with what she heard inside the church. My old church didn't look like it normally does. There was a section of it where you could walk right through it like it was hollow. So there was no substance of truth in the church or the government. We continued walking as two of the women discussed what they heard in the church, and the same woman was still upset. I started to depart from the others when one of the women spoke out to me, saying, "Be sure to read the passages about Martha and languages in the Bible." I responded nonchalantly, "Okay, I will," and I walked away at this point, and I awoke to my alarm clock. Well, Martha obviously represents a large portion of Christianity in that she was known for anxiety and busy works, while her sister Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and learned of him. Jesus said that this was the important thing to do, and it would not be taken away from her. All the rest of it will, right? Luke 10:40 says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' But the Lord answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" All right, so that is something that we all need to do. Churches like to get you busy. They want everybody working, everybody building their kingdom for them. But it's all in the flesh. It's all a mind game, not a spirit one. The word about languages is a warning that God destroyed man's attempt to make a one-world religion and government at Babel by confusing their languages, and he's going to do it again to modern Babel, which means confusion. Genesis 11:7 says, "Come, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore was the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth. Well, that's obviously that church was a Babylonish church, and they were full of confusion. All right, false prophets promote the beast. Gideon Smith, 11:24-09. I had a very interesting dream. It is very profound to me, and I know it's from God. In the dream, my wife and three daughters were sick and in a hospital. Well, the church is where healing is supposed to be dispensed, right? the doctors and nurses, or the ministers, were saying they needed more sugar. So then they were led to a floor below us. In other words, a place of lower stature or maturity, right? If you're just after the sugar, you only want the sweet stuff. You don't want the correction. You don't want these things, right? I noticed that they were giving them sweets, such as donuts and candy and things like that. Well, preachers and politicians are great at this. It just comes with the territory. The strange thing was that they were giving it to them through a garbage chute. Well, garbage and bribery is found in both of the factions, right? Sweets taste good to the flesh, but it will not do any good for the spiritual man. The world's methods for healing or salvation will not contribute any good to the body of Christ. Being led downstairs brings Colossians 2 and 20 through 3 and 2 to mind. Colossians 2 and 20. If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch. Sounds like a legalistic bunch, right? All which things are to perish with the using, after the precepts and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and severity to the body, but are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. And 3 and 1. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth or below and earthly, right? The sugar just sends you below. It don't send you above, right? And the garbage chute showed that what they were receiving was weak and beggarly rudiments or principles of the world, as it says in Galatians 4 and 9. But now that we have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn you back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage all over again? When seeing this, I noticed that my wife and three daughters had come up the stairs to see our new son. In reality, my son is already 9 months old. That's at the time of this revelation. They were brought up out of bondage to heavenly places when they came up to see the man-child of Revelation 12. And when they arrived, I met them, and we began to look around the maternity ward, and I noticed all of the babies were inside incubators that were full of sugary, powdery substances that covered the babies. These looked very underdeveloped and dark and unhealthy. The babies in the incubator were premature. They could not grow into the man-child. They were full of the powdery, sugary substance which will kill them spiritually. And then we went to see my son, whose name is Luke, and he was huge. He was sitting up on his own outside of the incubator, perfectly healthy, and when I looked closer, I saw that he was completely covered in blood, and there were no wounds or harm to him. The man-child was covered in the blood. He was fully mature and did not need an incubator to breathe. In fact, he could sit up on his own because he was covered in the blood and cleansed from all the things that the other babies were dying in. Then the whole hospital and staff turned on the TVs, and there was this big announcement being made by Donald Rumsfeld or some other politician saying that they had created something great and wonderful. Well, when looking on Wikipedia, I learned that Donald means ruler of the world. Wow. So the immature church and false ministers feed the people the doctrine of the beast kingdom. The great thing I saw was a spirit, Hebrews 1:7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels winds, and the Greek word is also spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. This is exactly what I saw, except for, in this case, it was a body of fallen angels or spirits. So the corporate spirit of the beast from the pit inhabits the world beast body of both secular and religious people. You can tell when a religious person is beastly. They're fleshly. They're all caught up in the physical world and doing physical things to promote what they think is the kingdom. And it's not so. So everyone seemed to be glued to the TV watching this creation of some sort being introduced. So as they watched, I was taken to the clouds and saw this great thing, quote unquote, that they were speaking of. And it was a gigantic pillar of fire with a fiery flame on top, flying up from the earth and passing the clouds into the atmosphere. But it fell down to the earth. Well, the fake pillar of fire was to lead the people through the dark wilderness tribulation to come, right? All of these politicians are the same way. They want to be our leaders. Well, we can see who the corrupt people are, and they can't lead you anywhere but hell. We see them very clearly. Then I was taken to the earth where I saw its form from another perspective, and I saw this pillar of fire which seemed to be full of winds that kept its flame burning. It was stretched from the ground all the way to the sky. And then I saw what was on top of it, and to my surprise, it was the same image that is on The Beast is Everywhere article on the UBM website, except the circle in the middle of the two horns was like the all-seeing eye on the back of a dollar bill. So you know the one with the golden calf and the horns go up and the globe is in the middle, you know, captured by this false Lord. The world and the worldly Christians will worship the golden calf, the false Jesus of Ra. He's kind of like Baal, but he's Ra to the Egyptians, right? At the command of the false prophets, the two horns of Revelation 13. Amen. Then after seeing this, I was back in the hospital with my brother beside me, who saw the same image as I did, but no one else did. I urgently told him three times, "That's Ra. That's Ra. That's Ra." That's the ancient Egyptian sun god or son of God, their false son of God, the false son of God or Antichrist beast, warning others of a false image of deity for 3 years, three times. That's Ra, that's Ra, that's Ra. Mm-hmm. Then, as the people were watching the news of this great thing, I began to warn them and tell them that this is the seven-headed, ten-horned beast. The people in the hospital began to listen to me. And that's those who were coming out of the institutional church, right? Because you know that the harlot's going to ride the beast. She's that nature, right? I noticed my wife was shaking her head, telling me not to speak about it anymore to them. Even though I felt led to keep talking, I stopped. Well, let me just say the worldly mother church will not want the truth to be proclaimed to their people. They are going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to be identified with the beast. And then I woke up from the dream. When I woke up and told my wife the dream, she apologized for what she did in the dream. Well, that's not necessary. It's symbolism, obviously. Okay, here's one. Deceived by a false Jesus. B.A. 9-9-2011. I dreamed that I was walking down the street and I saw some people going up to people on the street and asking them if they would like to be in the audience of a new game show. I kept watching as these people were drawing a large crowd by telling people they could win a house, car, boat, trips, money, etc. Well, this probably represents prosperity, love of the world, personal gain, bribery by the flesh type Christianity. And when they got all the people they needed to fill the audience, they took them all inside the darkly lit building. They gave each person a sheet of paper with a number on it and had them all sit down. I saw an elderly man complaining as they handed him his paper. He told them he did not want to be in the audience, that he was brought into the building by force. They made him take the paper anyway, and two men took him to his seat and told him to sit down. Well, we know what kind of religious order is coming, don't we? They want everybody to be a part of it, or else. So, the New World Order and its religion will take authority over everybody. The more mature Christians do not enjoy playing the worldly games with the apostates. Then the game show host came on stage and called out three numbers to select three contestants. A young man was selected, then a middle-aged man, and then the older man who did not want to be there. Well, notice these ranged from the less mature to the more mature. The three contestants were taken into a small room and told to wait there. The first contestant was brought out and given a card with three questions on it. Well, notice that those in control supplied the questions. Do you ever notice when in the debates when they have supplied the questions? Yeah. They didn't want to trip up their fake Jesus. So across from the contestant were three men. The object of the game was for the contestant to guess the real Jesus from among these three. The contestant had one question that he was to ask each Jesus. The contestant asked his question to each of the three Jesuses. And then the game show host told him it was time to select the real Jesus. The contestant chose Jesus number one. Jesus, number one, jumped up and said, "You are right." Then the game show host told the contestant that he had won a new house, and there was a lot of applause and music and celebration. So everyone has a different Jesus that they chose for the sake of fleshly advantage, usually so that they can continue in their pet sins. And this worldly Jesus always gets the applause of the worldly, right? Contestant number one was led off the stage and into the winner's room. And I noticed this room was painted red on the inside and told that he had to wait there until the show was over. Contestant number two was brought out, and again he was given a card with three questions, and he asked his three questions to each of the three Jesuses. And he chose Jesus number two. Jesus number two jumped up and exclaimed, "You are right." The game show host then told the contestant that he had won a beautiful new shiny car. Again, there was much applause and music and celebration. Then contestant number two was led to the winner's room and told to stay there until the game was over. In other words, whoever you chose is the true Jesus to you, right? This worldly contest put on by the forces of darkness represents the test to see who will follow Antichrist and which is any other false Christ. Anti not only means against, it means in the place of, right? Then contestant number three was led onto the stage and given his card, and I noticed the contestant look at the questions first, and then he looked up at each one of the three Jesuses. He had a look of distaste. This was the old man, the mature one, right? He had a look of distaste on his face, and I could sense hesitation to even ask these men the three questions. So this mature man who respected the word had come to recognize the real Jesus, right? The game show host told him that he was holding up the show and needed to ask the questions. So he did. When he finished asking the questions, the game show host asked him to pick the real Jesus. The old man sat there a minute, and then he pointed to Jesus number one and said, "You can't be the real Jesus because you're dressed in off-white. And the real Jesus would not be dressed in off-white. Our Lord's garment is bright and shining," he said. So the real Jesus believes and acts on true holiness, right? He does not wink at sin. He then pointed to Jesus number two, who was dressed in all black. The old man said, "You can't be the real Jesus because the real Jesus has no darkness in him." And let me say, neither does a real disciple who recognizes darkness when he sees it, right? He then pointed to Jesus number three, who was dressed in off-white and black, and he said, "You can't be the real Jesus because your garments are spotted. The real Jesus is spotless and without blemish." So, biblical discernment will save some from idolatry and destruction. The wise and the mature recognize and are hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. Jude 23. The old man then turned and faced the TV camera and began to tell the people who were watching by television not to be deceived by these false Christs. So the righteous are as bold as a lion, right? Mm-hmm. The game show host ran over to the TV camera and tried to unplug it. And when he got about a foot away, a bolt of lightning shot across the room and hit him and rolled him off the stage. Two men then came up and tried to take the old man off the stage. Again, lightning shot across the stage and hit those two men and threw them to the back of the room. The old man then focused on the audience. He told them to get out of the building quickly, lest any more of them get caught up in this evil deception. Well, you know, get out of the buildings of those who have any the anything goes Jesus, right? The mature Christians will get the word of this deception out, despite attempts by the harlot and the beast to stop them. God's power will see to it. The two men who had been hit by lightning ran over to the winner's room to get the two winners. They led them to a door that read, "One Way," in big black letters with a red arrow pointing down to hell. To hell was my words, but I knew that's what it meant. And told them they had to go through that door to get their rewards. Well, there is one way for the righteous and the wicked. And those who deny Jesus for fleshly rewards will get the rewards of the flesh. The winners opened the door, and I noticed that the winners, when they opened the door, and not those two men, and stepped into a large foyer. So, let me say, no one can send you to hell for following Antichrist but you, right? They could hear laughter and music and were excited to claim their prizes. And all of a sudden, the laughter and music stopped and the lights were turned off. And the room filled with a sulfur-like stench. And they had trouble trying to breathe the air. They tried to run back to the door to get out, but the door had disappeared. And then, all of a sudden, the floor parted in the middle, and they started falling down. And then I awoke from the dream. Well, Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." Ooh. My thoughts, unless we are filled with God's word and stay true to his word, we can be easily deceived and end up like contestants number one and two. We can be easily led away by false men and false doctrine with a false Jesus, right? I know this for a fact. As it happened to me, I got caught up in the First Assembly of God and the false revival movement teaching there, and then the Messianic Judaism false doctrine. I was so busy filling my days with idols that I didn't have enough of the Word in me to protect me from all my enemies. Only by the grace of God was I led away from these things. And this dream made me more determined than ever to study God's word and to pray for understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, and to pray for discernment. And, of course, to lead his family right, you know, or they would end up in the same trap, right? I can't stress enough how important it is for us to get God's word deep into our hearts. There's so much deception out there. And we must prepare ourselves. Oh, that is so true, so true. Please, saints, don't waste your time with the worldly things, the distractions of this world, you know. Get your heart filled with the Word of God. And you must remind yourself, because you forget so easily. Get in the Word, stay in the Word all of your life, right? Amen. Well, all right. God bless you. I hope you got something from these parables. They're wonderful parables. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask you to keep us. Keep us in your will, Lord God. Draw us to sow the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, in our own hearts, so that we will recognize him and not another Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, we'll do this again sometime. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.